Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I am a team pastor here at Ashworth. And I'm really excited because today I get the opportunity to preach one of my life verses. These are one of those like really critical verses in a person's life that you just hold on to, you memorize, you think about often. Every time I read it in the Bible, I re-underline it, so it's just a ton of scribbles under these lines now. And we're going to be looking at today Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And let me tell you why this verse means so much to me. Before I stumbled onto this verse, my Bible perhaps looked a little bit like some of yours do at home. Maybe it had sat on that shelf a little too long, had a little bit thick coat of dust on it. Reading the Bible for me was one of those things that I was supposed to do. You know what those supposed to's are in the Christian life? You should pray, and you should give, and you should volunteer in the nursery, wink, wink, and you should read the Bible. And the reason that it was just a should in my life and not something I was actually doing was because it simply felt like this dead, lifeless book to me. I just couldn't get excited about reading the Old Testament. Now, those of you who know me now, you're like, what? Yeah, the Old Testament, I'm like, who gets excited about reading the Old Testament law and skin diseases and don't eat shellfish? And then you go to the prophets of doom and judgment, or you go to Paul's epistles where he gives all these exhortations of what not to do. And I was just like, wow, when I read that, I just feel like an incredible sinner. And so I wasn't a big fan of reading the Bible. And I thought, you know, as a Christian, I can still be a Christian, and I can still follow Jesus without reading the Bible anyway, can't I? And the answer to that is, well, yes and no. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But before we go there, right now we are in the middle of a series called The More You Know. And it's those seven verses, every verse, or verses everyone needs to know. That's it. Verses everyone needs to know. And we're looking at seven very critical verses that whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you should know what these verses are because they lay out the foundation of the entire Christian faith. And we began with the most foundational verses in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. And I want you to read this verse with me right now. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. That's right. And then last week, we moved to another verse that explains essentially the crucial difference between Christianity and most of the other world religions, and that's the idea of grace, that we're saved not by something we did, but by something God did. And that's Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. Let's read that together. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And now today, after learning how we need to put our full trust in God for his grace to save our lives, we're going to look at how God now still speaks and transforms our lives through his divine, living, and powerful word. So let's read together from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I absolutely love this verse. It is alive and powerful, but then at the end, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And that's a little bit scary, but we're going to walk through this. The first place we have to begin today's message as we look at this verse is to identify, what is the Word of God? And I know many of you right now are thinking, well, that seems like a no-brainer, Ryan. The Word of God would be what's up on your pulpit right now. It's what's sitting on my lap. It's what I read many mornings. And I thought, Yes, that is exactly where I was going with this message. In fact, on Monday morning, every Monday, we have our message community meeting where the pastors get together and we talk about the passage. And I went in there with an outline and thinking, we're going to be talking about this book today. And then Brent said, well, what is the Word of God? This passage in Hebrews would have been written maybe 30 or 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, but the 66 books of this Bible weren't collected together until like 120, 130 AD, many, many years later. And some of those letters in the New Testament, they would have been spread around, but the thing was, all this writing, they didn't have smartphones to just keep it in their pocket. They didn't have Bibles that were easily printed. The Gutenberg press or printer press hadn't been created yet. They had very, very expensive scrolls of papyrus. So the average person did not have the Word of God sitting at home for them to just sit down and read it. And so being challenged by Brent to dig into what does this mean, I went on a search into Bible dictionaries. Those are big, thick books that have a whole bunch written about different nouns in the Bible because they're a dictionary. And here's what I found in the New Bible Dictionary, which I strongly recommend. It said, in the Old Testament, the Word of God is used 394 times of a divine communication which comes from God to men in the form of commandment, prophecy, warning, or encouragement. It's used as a synonym for the law of God in Psalm 119, where alone its reference is to a written rather than a spoken message. So what this says, in short, the Old Testament has 394 times that it says the Word of God or the Word of the Lord. And 393 of those times, it is talking about God's actual words spoken to somebody. And only one time is it referring to the writing that we have in this book. It's pointing to the alive and active Word of God. Then it went on in the article about the New Testament. It said, in the New Testament, it translates two terms, logos and rhema. Some of you see where I'm going with this. The former being supremely used of the message of the Christian gospel. So when it's the word, logos means word. When it says the logos of God, the Word of God, it's referring to the Christian gospel message most of the time. And a perfect example of that is found in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, which is very early. This is maybe weeks, maybe a few months after Jesus has ascended into heaven. And we read, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And so here, if this is just weeks after Jesus' resurrection, it can't be referring to the New Testament because none of that had been written yet. And I find it highly unlikely that they were walking verse by verse through the book of Ezekiel. No, I think the Word of God spreading at this time were people who had walked with Jesus or seen the resurrected Jesus telling stories. Have you heard about this man Jesus? Did you hear of all that he did? Did you hear about how he was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament that he died and he raised a new life? It was just the stories of Jesus. It was just their word and their challenge and their sharing with other people. There was nothing official or formulated, and yet they call it here the Word of God. And so even as Scott shares Jesus' stories with his coworker for us this morning and told him how Jesus has changed his own life, that's one way of the Word of God being spoken and spreading to other people. And here's another great way to think about what exactly is the Word of God in its fullness. That word logos in the Greek for the Word of God is also used to describe Jesus Christ himself in the opening verse of the Gospel of John. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the logos. He's referring to Jesus here. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word of God is actually a living person, Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word of God exemplified as a man who walked on this earth and came to show us how to live, to give us his message of the good news of the gospel of God saying, you know what, you can't do this on your own, but put your faith in my son Jesus. That also is the word of God. When we look to Jesus, we're looking at the very word of God as a person. And I think that that's absolutely incredible. So even if you're sharing a story about Jesus with a friend, you don't have to have chapter and verse to be sharing the word of God with that person. Just telling a story about how Jesus has changed you is sharing the word of God with that person, sharing Jesus with them. And now I know at this point, having looked at a Bible dictionary, some of you may be a little bored. We're going to move on. This was important to lay down, so catch back up with me here. So we're going to look at what is the Word of God here. And the first thing we have to say, though, is what it's not. The Word of God is not synonymous solely with this book, the Bible, that maybe you have on your lap or exists on your smartphone. It includes the Bible, but it is much bigger and broader than simply the words contained in this book. Remember, there's only one spot in all of the Old Testament that refers to the Word of God as something that had been written down. No, we see in this verse that the Word of God is alive and active. It is the spoken word of the divine communicating his message to his people. And God still speaks to us today by his Holy Spirit. The Word of God is also the Son of God, Jesus, the Logos, God in flesh, the Messiah. Additionally, the Word of God contains all the promises of God, all those things that maybe we don't have an exact verse that says it, but we know it's true, that God loves you, that you are valuable to him, that you are you can trust God, that you are forgiven, that God is good even in the midst of life's messes. Those are the promises that while we may not know the exact verse, and some of them are shorthand for verses, we know that those are true. Those are the Word of God spoken deep inside of us. And so the Word of God isn't the dusty book on your shelf that you don't pick up as much as you should. It is God's active communication with you, meant to change and shape your life, how you live, how you interact with others, and how you interact with God. And yes, the Bible does contain God's word to us. And for that, it is a very important piece of the Word of God. It is one of the ways that God speaks to us. But this is not, you can't say that the entirety of the Word of God is found right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more than this, because God is still speaking to us today. And the reason that this is still important is we wouldn't have this Bible series that we're teaching of the seven verses everyone should know if we don't have this Bible. We don't have the promises of God if we don't have this book. We don't have the stories of Jesus if we don't have this book. So in a lot of ways, yes, this contains the Word of God. But we have to understand, if we put it in here and we lock it in here, then it's no longer alive and working through us today. The other thing that I want to point out here, and this is for many of us, is here's a problem that some of us fall into as we look at the Bible and we begin to put our faith in the Bible. We begin to look at this and say, if I just read this more and know this more, then my life will be better. And the fact is, the Bible doesn't change your life. The living Word, the living Logos, Jesus Christ, is the one that we have to focus our faith on, because he's the one that changes our lives. So that's just one really important thing we have to remember. Christianity isn't about the book. Christianity is about the man of Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God. Now, some might think I'm splitting hairs here by saying that the Word of God is bigger and more than just what's in this Bible, but here's why this distinction is so important. For the Word of God to be alive and powerful, we have to be responding to it. It has to be something that speaks to us, and we respond, and it speaks back to us. And if we read this just like any other book on our shelf, that we pick it up, we read it, it doesn't change us at all, and we put it back down, it becomes simply another dead book. It becomes another should on your to-do list of things that you should be reading to follow Jesus, but you just don't see any difference in your life, so why bother wasting your time? And if that's you, perhaps you need to, like me, when I was returning to faith and came across this amazing, life-giving verse, you need to stop and recognize God isn't trying to speak to you through a dead book. By the Holy Spirit he's put inside of you, he's trying to completely transform you, get your attention by the message that's found in this book. He's trying to challenge you, encourage you, change you, and shape you by the words in this book and the Holy Spirit inside of you. He wants you to look more like the image of Jesus. And if you think that reading this book is just like reading any other book on your shelf, then you're missing the point, because this book is alive and powerful and meant to transform you. The question is, are you listening? When you come to church and you hear the Word of God preached on a Sunday, are you digesting and pondering and responding to what you hear? Or does the message stay in this building and as soon as you leave the parking lot, it's gone? Or when you maybe open your Bible to read the verse of the day or the chapter or the chunk of the Bible that you're going to read and you're done and you close the book, are you done with the Word of God? Or are you going to carry it with you throughout the day and let it shape how you think and how you act towards others? When you're in a conversation in the foyer with a friend and a verse pops into your mind based on what they're saying, do you recognize that that is the active and alive Word of God still speaking to you and wanting to work through you to speak to your friend? That still happens. And the last point I want to make about the Word of God being alive and powerful is, remember, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and it was so. There was light. Everything we have around us came into existence by the incredible power of the Word of God. And that same Word is the source behind God still speaking to each one of us today through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through the people that we come in contact with who challenge us and speak to us. We have this incredible power available to us to change our lives. So if you wrestle with doubt or anxiety or grief or addiction, God's Word to you, the message of the cross, the person of Jesus Christ, has all the power you need to get through what you're struggling with. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55 that the Word of God never goes out without accomplishing the purpose for which it was spoken. God's Word is not null or void, it says. Do you believe that, though? Do you trust that for your own life when you open up the pages of Scripture or you ponder a promise of God? Do you truly believe that it has the power of creation to completely transform you from the inside? The next piece of this verse describes the Word of God as sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between spirit and soul, between joint and marrow. And while we might think, wow, that's really sharp and oddly specific, I thought, it paints the picture of God's Word penetrating to every aspect of our lives. And while we look at this and we might at first think that it's a cutting to divide, like cutting between soul here, spirit here, joint there, marrow there, really what it's trying to do is convey this aspect of completely opening us up and laying us bare. That every single aspect of our lives is completely exposed to God so that the Word of God can penetrate every piece of our lives. You see, for many people, the verses of the Bible are all stored in our heads. It's like a little lockbox. It's really convenient. We put Bible verses up there and we memorize them so that we can maybe pull them out later. But then they stick in our minds. And we put them there for safe storing, but they never move from our heads to our hearts. They never seep through our entire being and challenge the way that we live. They never completely shape how we think about other people. It's when we let the Word of God move from our heads through our entire being that we are completely transformed to look more like Jesus Christ. You see, the words that we have that come from God aren't meant to simply be pondered and analyzed, evaluated, and held up in an ivory tower. Ooh, what does this mean for us? They're meant to move from our minds to our hearts and to transform all of how we live. You see, the first verse we started in this series, trust in the Lord with all your heart, is a great verse. But when life gets really hard, it can seem like a cliche if we only have it in our heads and we never grabbed it in our hearts and deep down in our beings. When your friend unexpectedly dies, or you watch a young girl die of cancer, both of which happened this week in this church, if all you have is trust in the Lord with all your heart and your head, you just say, God, I don't know if I trust you. I know that verse, but I don't know if I believe that verse. Whereas if we let the Word of God cut and slice through our entire being and penetrate into every part of us, then even when it doesn't feel true, you can still hold on to it. Even when life is really hard, or you get that diagnosis, or you get that call that just completely breaks you, and in your head you're saying, God, I don't know if you're good. If you've put it deep down inside yourself, there's something there that you can hold on to, even when it feels like the floor has been taken out from under you, that you say, you know what, I don't know if I can trust you in my head, but in my heart, God, I know that you're still good. I know that you still care. I know that you still love me. I know that you're going to get me through this. But that only happens when the Word of God moves from our heads to our hearts, to our souls, and to every part of our beings. Are you allowing it to move and penetrate through your entire being? And finally, if we allow the message of Jesus and his teaching and life to seep into every corner of who we are, what we will find is that it exposes us. When you hold up the truth of God, what perfect humility and grace and love and forgiveness that he asks of us, and you compare it to what is deep down inside of us, our biases, our selfishness, our pride, our ugliness, we find conflict. It exposes the goodness of God that comes and seeps through our whole being, comes in contact with our mess, and it shows us what's not right. It shows us our sin. It shows us the infection that's through our being and in our heart that we'd like to pretend, oh, I'm not biased against different people. I was at the gym on Thursday playing basketball, and a guy showed up that I played with years ago at the YMCA. And I remember at that time with him, he was a jerk, and he caused all sorts of conflict. And guess what? 10 minutes into this game, he was threatening to punch one guy, and he was just cussing here and there, and I'm like, oh my goodness, just leave. And the Word of God tells me, especially because of Pastor Brent's message last week, where is my grace for Lee? Right? But if that word, that message, was just in my mind as a nice little Bible verse, then it wasn't going to expose my sin of sitting there and feeling very guilty as the pastor who just wanted to be like, get out of here. But we all have that. But we only recognize that sin when we allow the Word of God to seep all the way through and expose that sin in us. To be willing to say, I want that cut out of me. The problem is, sometimes we don't exactly want the Word of God to show us all of our ugliness. But the thing is, that's exactly what we need. It'd be like if you had an infection in your body. Or maybe you have a skin infection. Let's use that. You've got a skin infection, it's spreading all over. You don't want to go to the doctor and him to say, or her, you know, it's okay. It really isn't that big of a deal. Just wear long sleeves and pants. Nobody will ever know. It's not going to kill you. You'll be able to get along with it, no problem. That's not what you want to hear from the doctor. You want to hear results. Here's what it is, and here's what we're going to do to fix it. And that's what the Word of God is. It's cutting to the source of the problem, and it's removing the infection. Some people might think, oh, I'll go to the Word to get behavior modification. I'll let the Bible tell me I'm supposed to be a good person, so even though I don't like you very much, I'm going to smile and say, good morning, glad to see you here today. And we call that behavior modification. That's like the doctor saying, you know what? Just put a shirt on or put makeup on over the infection, and then nobody will see it. It doesn't make the infection go away. You see, to make the infection go away, we need to cut it out. And we all have an infection in our hearts, and it is called sin. And if we never allow the Word of God to cut and to slice and to expose our sin, then we will never deal with it. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires, and that's scary. I don't want any of you to know the innermost thoughts and desires in my head. But God says, you know what? I'm coming, and I see it, and I want to pull that garbage out. And I want to replace it with my love and my goodness, my grace, my kindness, my gentleness, my forgiveness. And I want to say, yeah, that sounds really good. I want that. But that won't happen if I never bring myself to the Word of God that is alive and powerful, that speaks to me and changes me and slices me open. And I allow God's Word to speak to me today. So here's the thing about the Word of God. Like I've been saying, none of this can happen unless we humbly respond. We have to be the ones that say, I want to change. I see what's in God's Word, I hear it, and I'm willing to do something about it. Because ultimately, God can't force any one of us to change. He can't force it on you. He won't cram His life-giving words of truth down your throat. He offers it to you, but you have to be willing to receive it. Unfortunately for some of us, we like to pick and choose which pieces of God's words are for us, which words we like and which ones we don't like. So when we read about God's love and His grace and His peace, we say, yes, I love that. And then we read about God's judgment and the things He wants us to change about ourselves and the way that ultimately God doesn't allow you to live your life willy-nilly however you want. And we go, oh, I don't know if I like that part, God. That's not how God's Word works. Granted, if that's you and you struggle with some parts of the Word and you say, I don't know if I like that part, you're not alone. You're not unique in that struggle. James actually wrote a book of the Bible where he talks about this in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, where he wrote, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. God's word to you, the alive and powerful slicing and dicing word, won't make any difference in your life at all if you don't respond. If you open it up, you read the words there, you say, those are nice, and you close it, and you put it away, and you cross it off your to-do list. You won't be changed at all. You're going to put these words as in the vault of your mind, and it'll never transform you. It'll never penetrate deep into your soul. And when you come to that moment where you need those words, they aren't going to be deep inside you where they can make any difference. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharp and slicing, exposing your innermost thoughts and desires. And for some of you, like I've said, that might be really scary, but 12 years ago, for me, that was the amazing, challenging verse that I needed to hear. It was the verse, I even put it in the NLT, which we don't use in this church, because that's the Bible I was reading, and that's the verse that I memorized. And I remember thinking, alive and powerful. slight sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Like, I just love the illustration that the word that God gives us here and through his Holy Spirit and through others is not meant to be something that we just read about and go, oh, that's nice, and talk about. We have to do something with it. And so the word of God to me became more than the Bible. It became the person of Jesus. It became his message and the transforming power that came from that relationship with Jesus and walking in relationship with him. And as I started to chew on the stories of Jesus, on the teachings of Paul, on the big story of God's grace and how he loves us so much from the beginning of Scripture all the way to the end. People, if you read the Bible beginning to end, you'll go, wow, people have been terrible to God. And he continues to try to say, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. I'll do whatever I can. Come back to me. His grace is incredible. And in reading those things and hearing Jesus' stories from other people, God showed me his greatness and my sinfulness. He replaced my pride that I was a good person instead with a trust in his goodness. He challenged me to live for others, to give up a big paycheck, to change careers, to foster kids of trauma, to love my wife more selflessly, to stop chasing the American dream of bigger and better, and on it goes. But none of that happened by me just willing it into existence. It happened because I came in contact with the Word of God. Now, did more Bible study and more head knowledge do all of that for me because I was reading my Bible more? Yes and no. If I was only reading my Bible and closing it up and saying, man, I'm going to get through this Bible in a year, keep checking them off, I don't think it would have done anything inside of me. But if I had never spent any time in God's Word, if I wasn't going to church to have people speak to me and hear preaching, in that case, I of course wouldn't have changed because I wouldn't have known what to do to be in relationship with God. So yes, we need the Bible, but we also need to be responding to God's Word. You can't just do it by reading alone, and you can't do it if you never spend any time in God's Word. Just reading and learning stories and maybe even memorizing some verses doesn't necessarily change anyone. Some of you have perhaps put more facts and head knowledge from the Bible in your minds than I've ever achieved. But the question for all of us is, have you allowed the Word of God to change your life? And then there's others in this room where perhaps you don't spend any time reading the Bible, you don't hear many sermons, you don't talk to many people about Christian things, and the Word of God really doesn't play much of a role in your life. And so for you, you really need to put the Word of God somewhere in your world. Because God wants to speak to you. The power that created the entire universe is the same power available to transform your life, and you simply aren't connecting to that source. And for you, maybe you need to say, I need to read the Bible. I need to talk to somebody else. I need to hear some Jesus stories. I need to do something where God can speak to me. I need to spend more time in prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit inside of me. And so for you, yes, you absolutely need to spend more time filling yourself with God's Word in its various forms. God is a living God speaking powerful words to each and every one of us. Will we humbly listen, allow them to penetrate deeply into our beings, and respond? If not, it makes reading the Bible and spending time with Jesus in prayer seem like a chore, a should on our to-do list that we know we're never actually going to get to. And if so, then God will lead you on an adventure of growth and change as you become the person that he created you and destined you to be.